possibly could maybe mess the tape up for somebody. But the lyrics that was just on the overhead, "You are my shield," just leave that up there for me. What a beautiful time to gather in His presence and to lift up the name of Jesus. Is anybody here excited today? I'm excited. And I have everything I could do except tie ropes around me while I'm playing those drums. When they're singing about, I'm reaching for Him. When they're singing about, "You're my shield, my strength, my portion, my deliverer, my shelter." Anybody with me today? "My strong tower, my very present help in time of..." Is there anybody here today that is in a time of need? Is there anybody here broke? You can sit there and be funny if you want. There's somebody here broke. There's somebody here today that needs something in their life more than just to make me feel good. More than just to make me dance and make me happy and make me shout. But I want to let somebody know today that what I've come for today is to step into His presence, is to walk with Him, is to talk with Him. I don't want to chat with Him. I want to have a big conversation with Him. In this place today, where we stand, I'm excited. I got so excited, I forgot to give my scripture to the precious lady upstairs. So I hope you got your Bible. Uh-oh. No cheat notes today. Let's just jump right on into this. I have been, man. It's just you ever just get that on the. You ever feel something just down in your belly, other than ribeye and steak and baked potatoes? Do you ever feel anything down in there that's like, man, it's just all stirring? That's why the word of the Lord said, "Stir up the good gift." Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that's got a good gift in you? Why don't you stir it up one time for Him right now? I want to stir that good gift up that's within me. I want to do some great things for Him today. It was Wednesday afternoon, I believe it was, when a pastor had asked me to preach this morning. And then later on that afternoon, I hadn't even given any thought as to what the Lord was going to give to me. And me and Skylar was coming to church Wednesday night. And she wanted to run by and I'm very careful when I say this. Her significant other was in Forest, and we was going to stop and visit with him for a moment. And their high school, they're carrying around these mock babies for a grade. The ones that cry. Not the ones that come from Wallet World, but the ones that really do the real deal. You can't just throw them in the closet and pull a battery out of them, or you'll flunk. But it's the ones they got to carry around that you have to rock them. You got to feed them. You got to say, "It's going to be okay, baby. Please don't cry no more. Please don't cry." What they're trying to do is to educate these young people on that just it's not a good thing just to get together and have a child. That there takes something. There's a lot more than just, and that's not what I'm preaching about today. But I want to just lay a small foundation. Although it is something good to talk about, at least we forget about it. God's still God, and He still means business. And He still means that, you know, we don't need to be in the back seat of an automobile nowhere. But I'm an adult. But I don't care if you're 90 years old. If you ain't married, baby, don't be there. You got no business. Okay? And God began to deal. I began to watch these guys. It was so funny. I pulled up and Matt's cousin Dylan was with him. And I'm sitting in my truck looking at the back of their King Cab pickup. And they both, one goes to one side and one goes to the other. And they come out with these baby carriages, these cars. And I looked at for a moment. I said, "That is just it's the funniest thing." Watching these guys. And I mean, so, and Dylan walked over there with his. He was showing them to me. And I was looking and I was grinning. And I was all kinds of things was coming to mind I wanted to say. But I said, "Nah, I'm not going to do it." And Skylar just kind of pushed on Dylan's baby. He said, "Don't do that, baby. Start crying. I'll get in trouble." And I began to realize right then that although that wasn't his child, although that it was plastic and metal and battery and wires, that it just didn't, it wasn't real. But to him and to them, for that grade, you got to make it real. It's real, okay? Now, you can't just take him, like I said, I'm sure that they want to just take him and throw him out in the pond somewhere and say, "You know what, this I can't tell you." And they can tell the teacher what had happened was, but that's not what happened. God began to deal with me, and I began to see there was a little joy on the face of them guys. And while they were trying to take, they wanted to do a good job. And I began to think, as you turn to Psalms chapter number 30, and I'll even go a little slow so we can, if she wants to put it up on the board, she can. But Psalms chapter number 30, very, very familiar reading of Scripture. Amen. Psalms 30, we'll start with verse number 1. Anybody know who David is? Anybody want to be David? Anybody know who David is? I hope we know who David is. Most of us, if you have been in church any point or period in your life, you know who King David is and all the things. But at this moment, in this psalm that he's writing, he said, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to throw this out here for 20 seconds. This is about a 4.5-hour message. But I don't think you're going to be here 4.5 hours. So I have been trying since yesterday and this morning to cram all this in together. But I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast made my foes to rejoice over me. We could stop there and preach 45 minutes. Is there anybody here today that Jesus Christ has lifted you up? I have been lifted up. And if you hadn't been lifted up, maybe you hadn't been down. And if you ever get down, I promise you, you want somebody to reach down and to pick you up. Let me move on. Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Anybody ever been sick? Look, I want you to know something. If you want to know what I'm preaching, here's what I'm preaching. You need a baby. Now look at your wife and say, oh Lord. Now look at somebody beside you and say, I don't know what he's talking about. So he must be talking to you. But you need a baby. Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Anybody ever been dead? Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints. Those saints happen to be those people that are sitting under the sound of my voice, including me. We're the saints of the Most High today. Amen. We've walked into this house. We've come together. We've bound together. We love each other. We say we do anyway. And when somebody's sitting down beside us that may have been going through a problem, maybe going through a dilemma, I don't know. But I want you to look at them right now and say, God is going to give you a baby. I'm not prophetically speaking, okay? Y'all don't get that confused with a prophetic word that somebody's going to leave here pregnant, amen? But I want you to understand something. Verse 5 said, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. But joy, somebody say joy, is coming in the morning. Now look, here a few weeks ago I preached on balance, okay? Now, I may go one way or the other today. I'm going to tell you, I got the joy of the Lord in me. You may see more Pentecostal in me today than you've ever seen. But I want you to know that when Jesus Christ filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He put my feet up on a rock to stay. He helped me to give me a journey to walk on. And I love Him. And you ain't going to stop me. My wife ain't going to stop me. My child ain't going to stop me. I am going to live for Him, because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you need to make up in your mind today that it's for you and your house, you're going to serve the Lord. Men, put on the pants today. You're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. That was free. For his anger endureth, but for a season. I want to ask you, is there anybody here that could use a little bit of joy? Now, I sat back there this morning. I listened to Sister Beth talk about all the things that she's been through. I have personally talked with some of you guys, and I know what you've been through. And I've watched you walk through it, and I've watched the joy leave your face, leave your body, where you didn't know exactly what to do. But when that joy began to come back, and you begin to realize that Jesus really does love you. See, the enemy would like to tell somebody today that Christ does not love you anymore. That you're just here for some old reason. You just come together to take up space. I didn't come to take up space. I come into this place today to lift up the Most High God. And I want to give Him all the praise that I can give Him. Because He's due that praise. The joy of the Lord. There's more than 100 scriptures in the Word of the Lord about joy. So that's why I'm not even going to begin to try. It's so much that's just... Say, Brother Joel, slow down. Say it. Slow down. But in my life, I understand that sometimes there's things that come into my life, that come into my walk, that seems to shake my joy for a little while. It seems to grab a hold of it, and I don't understand why. I'm like, wait a minute, there's an old song we used to sing that the devil didn't give you the joy, and the devil can't take it away. Now, a lot of my life, I would even preach this. The devil done stole my joy. He didn't steal your joy. You gave it to him. You may have let him have it. You opened up yourself to a situation that here he comes, and you didn't stop him. Matter of fact, there's a country song, that I believe it's Carrie Underwood, that something about, you stole my happy. You made me sad. Don't act like y'all ain't never heard it. I know y'all know who Carrie Underwood is. But there is a part of us that we want to say, he came in and he took it. Oh, I've got to be honest. The many times that I have went from happy to sad. Don't get me wrong now. There's nothing wrong with being sad sometimes. There's nothing wrong with being at a place you don't understand because you're going to be at them places. We're going to be in a situation sometimes to where we don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. How did I get into this mess? So it happens. But I will say this, that it is not the will of God that you be sad all the time. Because there is one little small scripture in the Word of the Lord that the joy of the Lord is my strength. There is fullness of joy in His presence. So that's why we've come today to understand I need a little bit of joy. I want you to think for a moment, and I know you're wondering where this is going about, you need a baby. Think about the couple, and maybe some of you have been here before, when you and your wife were single and y'all were just having a good time, everything was going your way. Man, you had the sports car, you had the house, it was just you and her, and you could do what you wanted to do, go where you want to go. If you wanted to strike out in the middle of the night and go somewhere, guess what? There ain't no little youngin' to be tagging along behind you, you know. There ain't no baby to be rocking. It's all good. Hey, you want to go to Hawaii? Let's go. You take off. Want to go to the mall? Let's go. Hey, you want to buy that? Yeah, we ain't got to buy nothing else. Let's buy that. And then somebody says, you know what y'all need? Somebody said, you know what you need? What we need? You need a baby. A what now? What I need? What we need? You need a baby. Baby, we need a baby. We don't need no baby. Because at that moment, you're selfish. Come on now. You're at that place where you do what you want to do. You go where you want to go. You see who you want to see. You talk to who you want to talk to. But with that child, I promise you, there comes responsibility. And so you start thinking about it. You start talking about it. You know, y'all riding down the road, you know, and you're like, you think we really need a baby? Well, you know, that's what so-and-so said. Well, you know, be careful what so-and-so said. Let me throw that out there to you. Don't matter what so-and-so said. You better get what God said. Well, you know, and then all of a sudden, she goes, well, you know, I have been thinking about it. You have? Well, I have too. And see, I remember, personally, for us, I remember we was talking about it and, you know, it's time for a child. We've been married a little over 3 years. It's time for a child. We talked about it. We made plans. God blessed us. There it was. But here's the thing about it. I remember, not vaguely, but I remember like it was yesterday when she got pregnant and changes started coming. Somebody said, I hear a change coming. Brother Shannon, there's a change coming, brother. I think you know what I'm talking about. Now, he's done told the whole church that I didn't spill the beans or nothing for. But there's a change that was coming. Lots and lots of changes. Woo, man. It's time to go to work. body starts changing, life starts changing, mood starts changing. You walk in the door and, hey, baby, what? There's all kinds of changes. Is there any women in the house today? Any of you women ever had a child? Now, was it easy? Oh, come on now. Some of y'all going. And some of you want to go. And there it is. It's going on. It's here it is. Here it is. Here it is. There's that moment. And I watched those changes, those 38 to 40 weeks. All kinds of changes. Man, it was happening. You know, it started out kind of like, you know, now see, some people said the guy got sick. I didn't get sick. I was just down and out and depressed. And you know why? Because I was a young man. I had never, ever been with an expectant mother before. You know what I'm saying? That was new to me. Brand new. Like this church, it's brand new to some of you. You don't understand dancing sometimes. You don't understand tongue sometimes. You don't understand beating on drums and dropping sticks and guitar swinging sometimes, all to lift up the name of the Lord. It's a change you're going through. And to some of us, let's be honest, it's been a kind of a, you know, man, I ain't used to this. You know, you ain't, some of you not used to being right there in your pew, all of a sudden you're going. So you see them, you know, you just done got all up in it, and God working on you. Oh, you have a flashback. It's real. It's the change. Come on now. It's the change. It's a real change. In those 38 to 40 weeks, here I am. I'm watching the change. See, I ain't changing. Nothing changed about me. But there were some changes with her. Hormones changed. Talk about balance. All that got out of balance. But to her, and she would tell me that it was really a good pregnancy. Unless she didn't tell me everything, you know. She said I was already so daddied out. Lord, I ain't going to drop nothing else on her. And here it comes, and I watched that all those times. All of the, you know, when you get out of the car, you know. Come on, I'm not being funny. I'm being for real, y'all. Some of y'all ain't been through no change. And I watched that, and I have a great respect for that, because it's dangerous also. And it's not, I want to give it to you the way the Lord give it to me. That as it begins to happen, you watch all those changes and all of the many, many situations it has to go through. And all of a sudden, around 10:30, 11 o'clock on that certain night, Joel, it's time to go. Where we going? We're going to have a baby. We are? Did you think I said that? And I was like, let's go. Went outside, cranked up that brand new 1996 Ford Taurus. Let me tell you something, how change comes. She was driving a 1994 Mustang, new body style, sports car. And then guess what happens? Change. That two-door don't do it no more. So Skylar got her first car and don't even realize it. It was a 1996 Ford Taurus, pewter color. Pewter. Anybody know what pewter is? Yeah, it's kind of a rose looking. I think that's the right color. Anyway, we loaded that bad boy and we took off. That was my chance to just, I'm talking about break it down, driving. And I was going to Baptist High, I was just laying it down, driving. She's over there. We get to the hospital. Now, I'm making this real short, for I could really go on and on about this. Get to the hospital. We go into our little suite. See, I was born in the old hospital, the one they tore down. We didn't have no suites. They just shoved you over in the corner and you had a child. And now all of a sudden when you're having babies, it looks like the Hilton Hotel. But let me tell you something. You're paying for it, dear. You are paying for it. You're paying for that change. Man, I ain't never seen a coffee pot like this. Let's have another baby. You a lie. There ain't no coffee pot worth this. There ain't no. I'm just playing. We get her in there, they get her all fixed up. It's time. It's time to have a child. Those things called contractions. And the one thing out of all the things I've probably forgotten about that really stands out in that situation was as my wife laid there and they hooked the little monitors up all on, you know, most of y'all know about that, where they can read the contractions. And I remember it was well over into the morning. I was tired. I was standing beside that bed. You know, we want to be a good husband. You want to be who you're supposed to be. Because that woman is laying there, she could get up. You trying to hold her hand, you trying to be sweet, it's going to be all right. It ain't going to be all right. You're not the one laying here. See, some of y'all have been there. Some of y'all scarred for life already. And you're trying, as a young man, to just, you know, get you a little bad cloth, you know, and just, it's going to be, get that away from me. I'm having a child. There's something on the inside of me that is about to be birthed, but right now, it's killing me. And there's some of you right now that there's some things in your life. I'm trying to make this as Sunday school as I can. There's some things in your life that is about to kill you. And you think there is no way that I can survive it. There is no way I can walk through it. There's no way I can lay here on my back for another 25 minutes and wonder what's going on. But I want you to know that joy is coming in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night. So here's what I got to say. I'm sitting there, and I remember her. She looked at me, and she said, "Baby, it's hurting bad." And she tried to tell the nurse. Now, there ain't nothing like a nurse telling the nurse. That cracks me up. That's like a firefighter telling a firefighter. You know, we just don't care, though, but they take it all serious. And she said, "This thing is not in the right place." I remember. I'm having contractions. I know what a contraction is. I've done felt it for a while. That thing, she said, no. It's in the right place. It ain't time yet. She said, "I'm telling you that it's hurting." And I remember she took that monitor, slid it up a little bit. That thing like an earthquake seismograph. So I told you. It was a lot closer than what she thought. And I began to watch. And as that child was born, and as I looked at my wife, who was, I'm not trying to be all personal, I'm just telling you the truth. She was weeping, she was crying. It had been 38 to 40 long months, amen, of change in her life. But as I stood there at the end of that bed, see, here's the thing. We think that joy comes only in shouting. We think that joy only comes in dancing. We think that joy only comes in singing a fast song. But let me tell you, and I tried to get the picture of myself that they took of me when I held that child for the first time. I wasn't dancing. I wasn't shouting. But I stood there with my chest stuck out, and I had big old tears streaming down my face. I didn't know what to do. But the moment that child was delivered, there was a joy that came over me that I have never in my life felt before. And as I held that bundle of, there is a picture, and I promise, I wanted to get it and scan it, and I'm standing there holding her like this. And I had the biggest smile on my face that you have ever seen. I mean, I was smiling, never teeth. And you couldn't close my mouth. You couldn't tell me, that ain't worth it. Oh, you don't understand. Oh, look, I didn't deliver it, but I was walking beside the deliverer when it was going on. And I can promise you, there's a whole lot more joy here than what you think. Now, I dare say that in the months and the weeks and the years to come, that little bundle of joy did grow up. And that same little bundle of joy that you could put on whatever clothes you wanted to put on, you could put green and black and purple on her. She didn't say a word. But when she got a little bit older, I ain't wearing that. And guess what? 15 years old today, she ain't changed. I got to wear that. I don't know about that. But you know what? That's all right. I watched that change. And it was a lot of misery for a little while. Not just awful. You know, I'm just trying to paint a picture for you. That all of us here today, we've walked through different trials and tribulations. We've been in a bad place in our life. Some of you here today, you're at that bad place in your life. And it's up to you. Today is as good a day as any to get the joy back. Today is as good a day as any to let a little bit of praise come into your life and to begin to thank Him for everything that He's done. But it was that joy. It was that moment. And it's the same way. All of a sudden, like I was talking about, how that you don't do the thing. Now, all of a sudden, that couple that could do what they wanted to do, guess what? Not anymore. We look kind of funny striking out to the mall with no child. They're laying back there in the bed somewhere. We can't do that. And the same way when Jesus Christ fills you and He saves you with the Holy Ghost, there's places you don't go no more. There's things you don't do no more. There's things you don't want to say no more. Because there's something brand new that's in you. Does anybody remember the first time Christ saved you? I can remember. I was 9 years old. Now, I will say this, though. I was at my grandfather's church, and they were showing the Mark of the Beast films. I was terrified. Either God saved me or killed me, because this little 9-year-old boy was scared to death. I had made up in my mind, I'm not getting my head cut off for nobody at 9 years old. But guess what? I ran to that altar, and I gave my heart to Jesus. And He filled me with a baptism right then and there at 9 years old. Now, have I lived a straight life ever since? Now, I've made all kind of blunders in my life. There's been many moments that I understood, you know what? I'm not as happy as I used to be. Let me bring this home to you. Once that happened, and I seen that joy, and we had that joy in our life, a whole other life had started. Everything else was going wonderful in our life. Child's growing up. Everything. Jobs are changing. We've been there. It's just life. And then I found myself a few years ago at a crossroads in my life. And when my wife looked at me and said, "You're just not happy anymore. You don't have the joy that you used to have." And as most guys get, we get, you know, defensive, and we get y'all trying to jump on us and tell us how we're trying to live and all that kind of stuff. You know, and there's no doubt. That's what it was. I was like, "Man, no, I'm good." "No, you're not." See, I watched her go through that. And guess what? Now she's walking with me while I'm walking around looking like a lemon, supposed to be in love with Jesus. God's blessed my ministry in so many ways. But she stayed right there. She held my hand. She wiped my brow. She prayed for me. And there come that time in my life, I said, "You know what? This ain't going to get it, because this is not the joy. Jesus Christ did not build me and design me to be like this. But He gave me everything that I need to walk with Him." And there come the joy, the bundle of joy. What if that moment that child was about to be born, I think it was around 5:30 in the morning. It had been a long night. What if I decided, "Well, you know what? I'm tired and I'm thirsty. I'm going to Hilton. I'm going to do something else." And I'd have been 5 miles away when the joy came. I would have not been able to experience what I experienced at the foot of that bed at 5:30 in the morning. So let me ask you today, you need to make sure you're there when joy comes. "I can't pay my bills." It don't matter about that. When joy comes, you be there in the morning. "I can't seem to live my life the way they want me to live my life." Just be there. Where are you going to be when joy comes into your life? Don't be at the casino. Don't be doing something you don't have any business doing. But be there at the right place. If you want joy, you got to get in the right place. You got to position yourself to be in the right place. And guess what? If you're here today in this place, you have positioned yourself for some joy. You have positioned yourself for, "Hey, I want a baby. Whatever it takes, I want my life to be changed." You may feel like giving up. You may feel like throwing it. Do you ever feel like that? Every time you turn around, something else is broke. Something else is messed up. You can't pay this. You can't do this. You're young and sick. Come on, let's be real. Now, we sit here today looking like we don't have any idea what's going on, and every time we turn around, there's something going on in your life. Here's what happens. Some of us has gotten used to not having no joy. You got used to the long face. I say this out of all respect. At the church that I used to attend, there was a precious lady there. She was precious in God's sight. And I've always been a happy person. Come on, I promise, I've always been somebody that, hey, it didn't matter to me if the sun come up, went down, I'm ready. As I got older, that changed a little bit. My wife will amen me on that. But I just didn't believe in walking around looking grouchy. You know the little hat that used to always wear? I didn't wake up grouchy. I let her sleep. Now, I didn't say that now. I'm just saying. Bless her heart. I say this for a reason. We're talking about somebody that's full of the joy of the Lord, full of the Holy Ghost. And every time you see this individual, just say it for no reason. Been asked. It's just always. And finally, this young buck here, you know, I walk up to her. I said, "Sister, so-and-so, can I ask you a question?" She said, "What?" Now, I should have backed down and ran at that moment, but I didn't. I said, "Can you tell me why you so grouchy?" She said, well, it stunned her for a moment, and I was speechless, and I was thinking that I had just shot a mountain lion with a BB gun. And she looked at me and said, "Well, that's just the way I've always been." And I said, "Sister, you need to change." And if I'd have been a little bit older, had a little more experience, I'd have said, "You need to change." And there's some of us here today. That's why I like my wife to look at me and say, "You need to change, boy. You need to get some joy about you. Don't be getting up there preaching about joy and you ain't got no joy. Don't be telling everybody else how to live when you don't have it." That's why I want to keep the joy of the Lord in my life. And the way I keep that is to pray all I can pray when I don't want to pray. It's to lift Him up every time I don't feel like lifting Him up. That's how I keep the joy of the Lord in my life. But it's not, I promise, it's not the will of God for you to be sad all the time. That's the greatest blessing for me to be in this band, because I hear so many testimonies. I promise you, at one time, everybody in our band has given one of the greatest testimonies that don't mind. My little stuff ain't nothing. And that's why I just don't say, I'm like, "Man, Lord, forgive me. I'm not going through nothing like they're going through." But guess what? They still get in this band and give it everything they've got every Sunday and Wednesday, even in the middle of all that junk. Because you know what? My joy is kind of running out, but I believe I can tell somebody else, if you'll just hang on, baby, your joy is coming back. If you'll just be where you need to be with God, I promise you, then your joy is coming back. There was a story I heard once of an Indian, and a pilgrim walked up on him. He was in the middle of a little dirt road, and he walked up to the end. The Indian knelt down, and there was a little worm about this long that was crawling, and the little Indian dug a little trench in the dirt. So you may have heard this. Dug a little trench. He laid that worm down in that trench. Sprinkled some dirt over. Then he got like something like some lighter fluid. And he just poured it all around. And he set it on fire. And he was watching it. That little worm couldn't go nowhere. He was stuck. There was fire all around him. There was dirt everywhere. He'd go to one end of the trench. He couldn't get out. He'd back up. He couldn't. And as that fire was coming toward that little worm, that Indian, he reached down, knocked the dirt off, picked that little worm up, and he held him. And this is what he said. He said, "This is what me God did for me." At the last moment, I had fire all around me. And he reached down and he picked me up. See, some of us have forgotten where God brought us from. Some of us have been clapping and shouting so long, we done forgot all the mess he done drug us out of. And we have forgotten. That's why I praise Him the way I praise Him. That's why in my old church, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the little lady. There were several little ladies. Boy, I mean, they'd be in the front of the church the whole service. Just like it's right here. Just walking, just dancing. The whole service. And I'm like, you know, I was raised that way. I was like, man, sometimes, hey, chill out. Whole time. I'm talking about just getting it everywhere. The whole service. And I'll never forget what I heard somebody say from the pulpit one day. So some of you may wonder why so-and-so is doing what so-and-so is doing. Here's the reason. You don't know the story behind that dance. See, ain't it amazing to me how that we say, well, I ain't going to lift my hands in church. Somebody might talk about me. They already talking about you. One way or the other, they're going to talk about you. Either you can't sing or you you ugly? Well, I don't know. Somebody's going to always have something to say. And that's why it don't matter. When God's done something for you, do you think that as much as I love my child and my wife, when that bundle of joy was born and I had that big old grin on my face, how happy that made me? Don't you think I ought to be a little bit happier to know that Jesus Christ got up one Sunday morning and he all that blood went off of that cross? See, we've forgotten about that. We've forgotten about all of the junk that he has brought us from. And that's why we have every right, like the little lady, to praise him. Let me ask you this, and I'm about to wrap this up. What if praise? And like I said, I didn't preach this message on joy today to make you run, to make you dance, to make you leap. Because joy, to me, the greatest blessing for me is when I just stand there and weep. That joy. That's what I like. But let's just say that today, what if praise was a debt or a bill that you owe? Think about it. What if praise was a debt that you needed to pay? When was the last time you paid that bill? And don't get me wrong, praise ain't just all about running through them glass windows. Okay? Praise is when you magnify the name of Jesus. That no matter what happens. When Brother, and I'm not pointing him out. When Brother Kim was up here singing, when he sings and he leads worship, he gives it everything that's within him. He's not up here trying to pump you up, make you run, make you dance. The whole time he's talking about reaching for him, he remembers all them 20-plus years that God delivered him from crack cocaine and crystal meth. That's what he's thinking about. And if you begin to think about that every once in a while, you won't have a bit of problem with getting on your feet every once in a while and clapping your hands at Jesus Christ and letting him know how much you love him. That is what it's about. And I know even in my life, I have been late on my praise bill. So many times, and some of the praise guys, where's Sister Joanna at? I was telling them a story at my old church, how there were many times, and I guess I should not have said this, but now they're waiting on it now. Many times at my old church, I'd be playing the drums. Man, the Holy Ghost would be moving. I'm talking about just like now. But, you know, I guess now, you know, we done got older, you know, we don't want to embarrass ourselves or anything, you know. I don't want y'all talking about me. I ain't worried about y'all. I was sitting back there on them drums many times. Man, everybody be shouting and getting down. I just jump off them drums, and I'll never forget one night when I jumped up, I tripped, tore half the drums apart and rolled off in the floor, and I kept on stroking. And I was running down through the middle of the church. And guess what? They weren't worried about it. If they was, it didn't really matter to me. Because I was thinking about, my God, think about all. I don't even remember at the time what it was. But there's no doubt he had blessed me in some way. And it didn't matter what you said or anybody else said. I was coming out of there. So she's waiting. She said, I'm waiting. I want to see that, Brother Joe. And I ain't going to tell you it ain't going to happen, because you know what? When that gets down on the inside, and I promise you, it has been down on the inside of me for the last 2 or 3 days, because Easter's right around the corner, but I don't wait on Easter. Easter's every day in my life. I got to plead the blood of Jesus every day. I got to tell him how much I love him every day. I got to thank him for taking care of my family every day. I got to thank him for a good job every day. I got to thank him for a good church every day. I got to thank him, blessed me with everything that I've got every day. I thank the Lord he's been a doctor in my sick room. Amen. And to you, there's no, he may have been a lawyer in your courtroom. I don't know. But he's been a way out of a no way. He's made me smile when I was sad. And that's why I'm here today. That's why I don't mind giving him praise and giving him glory, because that glory is due to him. So here we go. I said all of that to say this. Mark 16:9-10. Very quickly, and I promise I'm going to be through. Man. And she's quicker than I am. She's been doing sword drills. Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. I'm just going to blow all this together real quick. I love the analogy of my wife expecting, having a child. All that was wonderful. And there's many directions we could have went today with your life, the things in your life, the places that you've been. But there was one particular time when Good Friday wasn't a Good Friday. There was one particular time in history that wasn't the greatest moment at the time in history. And I didn't come today to preach the Easter message. But if you want to put tears in my eyes and me be reminded of who Jesus is to know that when they put him in the ground, they put him in the grave that time. Out of all the stuff, can you imagine what was going on in their mind? This can't be good. Disciples going back and forth with one another trying to figure out what has happened, what is going on now. You're talking about the same one that walked with us and talked with us, and it's been with us, that every time I got a problem, all I got to do is say, Jesus, can you calm my boat? He would make my boat begin to stand still in the middle of a storm. Now, all of a sudden, all of that is completely gone. And then you jump ahead to all the times that Mary is going at this moment to go and to find a dead Jesus. And Brother Shannon to walk up to that place and to realize that he's not there anymore. Man, I wish I had time right here. To realize that now at the moment that she walks up, can you imagine how she must have felt when Christ was gone? There was just some cloth laying on where his head was laying at one time. I don't know. The sickening feeling that it must have been that somebody stole my Jesus. And then old angel sitting up there, you know. And why are you weeping? What you crying about? But you don't understand where I was at Friday. You don't understand what I seen Friday. You must not have been there when they took that spear and they shoved it in his side and blood and water flowed. You wasn't there when he pushed himself up like this so he could breathe one last time. Where were you? Where were you on Saturday when I was pacing back and forth with a sick child wondering, what am I going to do now? Where were you when my mother died? Where were you when they put my baby in the hospital? Where were you when I lost my job? Where were you when they took my child? Where were you when you tried to understand that there was a Friday, I seen it happen. I seen him put him in the grave. Now it's Saturday. Now it's Sunday. I want to tell somebody, I wish I'd have been the one that penned these words, but I wasn't. There's an old song that said, Sunday's on the way. And there's no doubt some of you have been living in Friday and Saturday for too long, but I want to let somebody know today that your Sunday is on the way. I want to let you know that it ain't on the way, but what's today? It's Sunday. I'm not going to go through all the theology to figure out exactly what day it was. I'm telling somebody that today is your Sunday. Today is your moment to realize that I have come into this place. I've carried a lot of baggage. Christ, he's not dead anymore. He is risen. He's in my life. And he's wide open in my life right now. And he wants you to know today, friend of mine, that he loves you more than you can ever imagine. So I ask you today in closing, why or what did you get up early today to find? Now, if you got here between 8:15 and 8:30, you had to get up at a decent time to get to this place. Did you come expecting the same old thing? Since the best so many times, that's what we do. Well, you know what? I don't walk through this. I guess I'll walk through something else. I guess I'll continue to do this. Did you expect the same routine? I hope not today. Did you come going through the motions? Or who did you expect to meet this morning? Like Mary today. She didn't expect to meet Jesus. See, she done forgot all about that. I'm going to tear down the temple in 3 days. I'm going to rebuild it. She ain't thinking about none of that. She's thinking about he's dead. And all of a sudden now, She stands face to face with him and talking with him. As we all stand across this house today, I don't want you to leave this place today with no joy. And what you need, the simple analogy that I used, you need a baby. You need to deliver something. And you've, at this moment, you're at that place where you're trying to figure out, what do I do at this moment in my life? Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe your finances have crumbled. The enemy will attack you in ways that you thought he wouldn't attack you. And there are several of our precious young ladies that's in our assembly today who is with child, for real. What a beautiful thing to see these ladies. But it's not simple. Oh, and I know today that we've talked about our experience and how there was laughter, and then there was sadness, then there was like, oh my goodness. But it is. It's real. And in the natural, there are those changes. But the enemy can so easily slip in just into that situation and kind of put a little something against your faith. Now, you know what? Maybe everything's not going to be all right. But I want you to know this today, that Jesus has put his hand on that situation today. And we've got just a few moments. And I want everybody in this house, if you love Jesus just a little bit, I want you to close your eyes today. And I want you to begin to think about the goodness of Jesus. I want you to begin to think about all of the things he's done for you. Well, Brother Joel, I'm not really all that close to it. I want you to understand that you're close enough to the Master to know that he loves you so much that he really did die for you. I'm not one of them preachers that tries to, I promise, to pump you up, make you run to an altar. But I want somebody today to understand that through his death and his burial and his resurrection, that's what he wants to do for you today. I don't want you to leave today going through the motions. I don't want you to leave today just to say you showed up for service. Just to say that, you know what? Well, I went to church. Oh, we had a pretty good time. Brother Joel told some stories. Kind of like having Sunday school. But I want you to understand that you can't make it without Jesus in your life. You've been trying to make it. You've been trying to get all of the stuff situated in your life. You've been trying to understand all of the stuff that you're going through, that you're walking through. That if you will let him today, he will reach inside of you and he'll birth that. And when you realize that, you know what? That's really what I needed. If you're here today and you're tired, I mean sick and tired of walking through the junk you're walking through, I wish you would let down some of that pride today and nobody's going to touch you. And you'd walk to the front of this church by an act of faith and just pour your heart out to him today. And said, you know what, God? I'm not perfect. I'm nowhere near perfect. But I need you in my life. I need you in a way that I have never, ever had you in my life. I need you today. There's some of you tossed and stuff. I'm talking right now in your mind. It's going from the left. It's going to the right. You're trying to figure out, God, is this where I need to be? Do I need to stay here? Where do I need to be? Do I need to take this job or take that job? Do I need to go to school? Do I need to quit? Do I need to leave her or him? No, what you need to do is understand that he's got you in the palm of his hand today. And just in a few moments, think about what he can do in your life. You don't have to walk out them doors not one more time without the joy of the Lord in your life. You know what? I could tell you some stories that may make you kind of sad, but I don't have near the story to tell that some people here today could tell you. That while you have an opportunity to give God everything in your life, you give it to him right now. And let him have control, complete control in your life. I don't dare put a time schedule on God.